Yes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Geek Culture Congress. I am one of your hosts, as always, Louis Speedy Jr. Gonzalez, accompanied by the world-famous nighttime jock for Wild 94.1 in Tampa, Florida, Mr. Joey Franchise is in the building with me today.
Out here,
how you doing?
Man. I'm great. Feeling good, man. It was an amazing weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of dope trailers dropped.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk about all that.
Oh yeah, I'm excited to talk about all the stuff too.
So much stuff popped up.
Yeah, I'm gonna need your
even
help
today. Did you see the new Ghostbusters?
I did see the new Ghostbusters. We're gonna talk about that because I have some some reservations, but we're getting into that right now.
Really?
So shouts out to everyone that stuck with us here on the Twitch channel. We are live,
baby,
and direct from Tampa, Florida, the Geek Culture Congress show. And we're going to talk about all the stuff. So how far are you before we get into it? And Mandalorian, are you caught up?
I'm all
right
caught
now?
Up on Mando.
Right. And then on Watchmen, are you caught up?
Not
there?
Yet.
Not
no,
yet?
I'm not there. I'm getting
where are you at about right now? Because we can talk about as far as where you're at.
I'm on episode 2.
2?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't even remember the conversation. I just haven't had the time with right now to kind of sit down and really like binge watch the whole thing.
Really?
But no, I'm just, it's so far so good, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, you like it?
It's really dope.
I really enjoy Watchmen, and I'm all caught up right now. And it's wild, man. It's really wild.
Is it? Like, I know the last.
It's a different animal than The Mandalorian, I'll tell you that.
It's what?
It's a different animal than The Mandalorian.
Oh,
you know?
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's. Well, I mean, it's the cinematography, man. Just the way that like the directors be doing all the cinematography, like the subtle way they do have the camera angle.
Yeah.
You know, I just like that stuff, man. It's like a part of the storytelling. You know what I mean?
No,
it's really dope.
I mean, that really tells, you know, really executes on, you know, you telling the story is the way it's being, you know, shown to us. So.
Yeah.
You know, dope cinematography is very important.
So let's talk about as far as you are right now into Watchmen, what do you feel about, how do you feel about it so far? It's first two episodes, right?
Yeah. It's really dope. I'm really into, was it Regina Hall?
Yeah.
It's Regina Hall's character. She's really amazing, in the show. It's just cool. It's especially cause I appreciated the movie so much.
Yeah.
It just helps me appreciate the show now and everything that's coming with it. So it's pretty intense. I'm pretty sure, like, you know, it's you're all caught up, like, you can attest to that, so.
Yeah, it's
but it's not
wild,
a bad
man.
Watch at all, man. It definitely captures you. And like you said, man, cinematography, that's, you know, it's A1.
Yeah, it is, man. It's really good. Really well done. I really recommend it to anyone who hasn't caught up yet. I mean, I'm all the way in, man, and it's been a good ride on that show. I really am enjoying it, especially right now. Got a lot of revelations that we weren't expecting and stuff like that, and it's really good. So yeah, I won't spoil it for you. You know?
No, it's good. Okay. Yeah.
So talking about now getting into the Star Wars universe, talking about the Mandalorian. It's been an interesting ride these episodes. I hate to say it, but it's been kind of like from I would say the episode where they were on the planet that. He was thinking about settling down or leaving Baby Yoda, quote, with the village, you know?
Yeah.
I say from that episode on, we were getting some kind of like maybe filler episodes.
Yeah, I feel like 5 was definitely a filler episode. I mean, I liked the 4th episode where they're on, I forgot, what plane are they on?
They were on the
last one before 5.
It was like a forest kind of kind of planet.
And they had to take down the
ATST.
ATST.
Yeah.
So, and that was really cool to see that back because, you know, that was a big thing in Empire.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, it was kind of had you on the edge of your seat because, you know, there were, you have somebody from the guild.
Yeah.
With the fob tracking Mando and Baby Yoda and trying to assassinate Baby Yoda. And just to kind of feel that suspense, like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like that was probably my favorite episode in the whole season so far.
Yeah.
But this 5-1 was really a filler. We got to see this chick, the girl, she was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's right.
She was also Chun Li in Street Fighter.
Yeah, she was. Yes. So, and she was the one of the bounties that they were hunting in the episode. So long story short, here's a spoiler alert for everyone, okay? This is your spoiler warning. So if you haven't caught up on The Mandalorian, we're going to go in a little bit on The Mandalorian, the latest episode. Excuse me there. But this episode, in the beginning, he gets hunted by another bounty hunter, I guess.
Yeah.
He's trying to take him out.
And, but it's not like that. He befriended him.
I think he killed him.
No, he befriended him, but then like had to because he found out that Mando had the big bounty, which was
no. That's later on in the episode. I'm talking about the very beginning.
Oh, the beginning.
Yeah. Because okay. I like the you know spaceships versus spaceships. You know, I'm the X-wing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm an X-wing versus TIE fighter kind of guy. You know.
Okay.
I like that stuff. You know what I mean? Like that's what I jump into when I turn on Star Wars Battlefront 2. I jump into that real quick. Do some X-wing versus TIE fighter, then do the running around. You know. So I like the space battle there. The guy that was kind of like in a modified X-wing kind of
right.
And he was hunting, or Y-Wing, kind of looked like a cross between the two, kind of. And he was hunting down the Mandalorian, and Mandalorian shot him up, did a little trick, and knocked him out, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I liked the way it was done. Like, they made it look like old-school Star Wars, you know? With all the little dials.
That was good.
The targeting lock, you know? It looked 80s, but then it looked fresh. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Like a refined.
Yeah, like a refined, you know?
Yeah.
Like a refined vintage.
I like when they do those nods to the originals, and they've been doing that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Especially through this one, because it's like in that time period where it's after after Jedi.
Right.
So, it's cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that part, that beginning part. That was pretty dope. But then we get into what the actual nitty gritty of the actual episode, which is he happens to wander damaged over Tatooine. So we're returning back to Tatooine in this episode,
Anakin's,
which is kind of cool.
Home, right?
We see an after the Empire Tatooine, after the Return of Jedi, after the Empire's been defeated. And that's where we get that scene that when we got in the trailer, those stormtroopers on spikes, heads on spikes.
Yep.
We got that. That scene is in this Return to Tatooine, which
that was the Raiders, right? Were they?
Maybe the Tusken Raiders. I don't know, because the Tusken Raiders don't go into to Mos Eisley.
Okay.
They're kind of like hermits. Like, they stay to themselves. Which is interesting, because that's what Mando hooked up with another bounty hunter, some rookie guy that wants to hunt a really dangerous bounty who's hiding on Tatooine, which is played by Ming-Na Wang. I forget the name of the character right now, but inconsequential at this point. She is out in past the Dune Sea, you know, so they got to get some equipment, speeder. We see the speeder bikes again, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we see the speeder bikes again. That was pretty dope. We got some speeder bikes. And so they got to take the speeder bikes out there, and they go out there. And long story short, they get their bounty, but I guess they lose one of the speeder bikes. And Mando's got to backtrack to go get some, I forget what they call that monster. It's like it's the animals that the Raiders ride.
They ride on.
They ride on naturally out there. So they're like the other mode of transportation for Tatooine, I guess. And so he's got to hot-footed over there back to the animal to try and ride him so they can take the bounty back in. But while he's gone, I guess the new rookie bounty hunter wants to pull the double cross.
Yeah, so he was trying to get down with the guild.
So he murders the bounty, the female, the actress, the character that Ming-Na Wen plays. I forget the name right now. If somebody on the chat will tell me, help me out. But
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Then he goes back. It's kind of like a filler episode. Like it doesn't move the plot of the Baby Yoda plot.
No, it doesn't.
You know, does it move Mando's plot, Mandalorian's plot, the character, his character? Maybe that, you know, he tries to be good guy, kind of.
He's definitely like not trying to be a good guy. Right. I think he is.
He's not a Boba Fett.
Yeah,
he's not a Boba Fett that just doesn't care. Like he's like, oh, I'm getting these bounties and I don't care.
This dude that legit has like he has a heart.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a lot of these episodes. We call them filler episodes, but I think these episodes are building on that, and they're trying to build on the character of the Mandalorian. You know, like what he stands for and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
And Ming-Na Wen is her character is Fennec.
Ah, Fennec. Yeah.
Fennec Shand.
Yeah, Fennec Shand. So that you know, these Mandalorian episodes are kind of gangster.
They're pretty like, and this is why I say like it's kind of it's starting to get a little bit repetitive. Mm. What I was saying earlier because I feel like it's just him. But it's cool because it's kind of expanding the you know the Star Wars universe. So now you're being exposed to planets that we've known, mm-hmm. planets that we're just getting to know for the first time. So that's the cool thing about it. But it's just literally just him going on to another planet to planet, gunslinging, like, you know, kind of escaping out the whole landscape.
Clint Eastwooding some places.
Yep, Clint Eastwooding it. You know, cute baby Yoda action going on. And then back to more gunslinging. Mm-hmm. And then he leaves the planet with baby Yoda and goes to the next. So it's like, it's literally hopping from one thing to the next.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy it, you know, but I'm like, okay, you know, where's my... Let's move the main plot, you know?
We need to move it. Yeah, we need to move the whole story.
We need to move the story along. Okay. If there's another filler episode, I'm going to be upset.
But this is the only episode where I was not crazy about.
Okay.
This five is the one I haven't
been. Yeah. I liked it for the most part. It was okay.
I think five made me realize that it was getting like kind of repetitive. Mm. I think the stories were told a lot better in previous episodes.
I feel the same that way about this episode that I did about the last one. Because it kind of was a filler too, you know?
And that's where it was getting there. It was kind of like leading up to it. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for the... You know, assassination attempt on Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it helped me forget about the whole...
Right. The main plot.
Yeah.
Which is Baby Yoda. I mean, let's face it. Nobody cares about anything else. Nobody even cares about Mandalorian. We all care about Baby Yoda.
Because they revisited why, you know, he's being bounty. You know what I mean? Like, instead of it...
As a matter of fact, they just renamed the show right now. Hey, you know what? Mandalorian was not a good name, but calling it Baby Yoda.
They
right
might
now.
Have to just rename the show and do a Baby Yoda do a Baby Yoda spinoff.
Yeah, they're gonna have to do something.
Man, they're gonna make some hella bread selling Baby Yoda merch because he's already killing it on the memes. He's all over social media.
He is. Baby Yoda forever. Anyway, so Mandalorian streaming now, Disney Plus. I have to tell you twice. You should know because if you're living under a rock, then you wouldn't know. We have some new trailers,
a lot
new stuff coming at you. The first one actually that was available, before we got into the show was the Black Widow trailer.
Yeah.
Very awesome trailer. And I liked it. Interested.
It's
intrigued.
Cool. I'm intrigued and you know, I was wondering how they were going to pull that off, but it's cool. I love the opening shot of like Budapest.
Yeah.
So obviously that's going to be finally revisited and paid off from previous Avengers movies. So they've announced that like what? Three movies? All three Avenger movies? Between her and I swear they said that in the first Avengers and then they said it again in Age of Ultron and then in Endgame.
What was it that they said exactly? I don't remember.
They were shooting off. I know they were shooting off in Ultron. It was like, we're a long way from Budapest. It's like, you and I remember Budapest.
Yeah, and
very
name
differently.
It.
Or something
name
like
drop
that.
That?
Your name dropped it a couple
I don't
times.
Know. It's hard to remember things like that. AT-ST in episode 4 was pretty cool. I really did like that, that in the Mandalorian part. But as far as Black Widow's concerned, I reserve judgment. I'm intrigued by the trailer. I don't think it moves the plot of the whole DC. They did name drop Budapest. Joey's the only one who remember that.
I remember. I keep like.
All
the most pointless like situations from movies like get stored in my head.
I don't know if this show's going to move actually the plot point of the Marvel Cinematic Universe as wherever direction
you don't think
they're
this
going.
Movie in particular is going to move
I don't
it.
Think so. I think it's going to be another... I don't know yet. You know, I feel it's just really focused on her lore, character's lore.
What if there's a lot more going on in the Red Room than we suspect? Because that thing is in the middle of nowhere in Russia.
Maybe.
You know? Like, what else are they experimenting with anything? Like, what if it's like, and you know, it's in the middle of nowhere, just like how, like, when dare I say, Wolverine was being experimented on with the adamantium.
I don't know. Don't know they're going to do that. Don't know.
Never
don't
know.
And they'll make him Russian.
You got the Russian, the Guardian.
The fanboys aren't going to like he's not coming from Canada.
Oh, that's true. That's true, too. But yeah. what if they transferred his, like, body over to, like...
I don't know. We're reaching out.
We are definitely reaching. But seeing the Guardian, too.
Yeah, that was pretty
cool. And that
cool.
was really fire.
David Harbour's character. You looking forward to that?
Yeah. And it's so funny because, you know, with Stranger Things being set in Russia.
It looks very comical, though.
That's which one? On like. Black Widow?
The red Guardian thing, you know? It's kind of like more like the Hellboy, you know, kind of Fat Thor, kind of, you know, somewhere in between that those two kind of archetypes.
Fat Thor was awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm pretty
I mean,
sure
you know, it, somewhere in between there, like archetypes I'm talking about. Not really characters, but like character archetypes that, you know, he's kind of like, I don't know, kind of foolish in a way, kind of looked like.
I can see where you're getting that. I'm curious as to how strong he is because, you know, it's like the Soviet ripoff of the super soldier serum.
Right. Well,
they try to replicate it.
Yeah.
And he was their test subject.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's going to be interesting to see how that pays off.
I think that was lost, that the serum.
Yeah.
Because they lost Captain America, so they lost the serum.
Where was that doctor from?
I don't remember.
In Captain America.
Unless
now
he
I got to go back
to,
and watch.
Yeah, you see? Maybe after the war, he went to Russia instead of...
Well, he died in the movie.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
But he originally was in... I want to say he's Russian.
Because
I remember when he recruited... The doctor who recruited Cap.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm assuming he's Russian. I'm going to assume.
I don't know. I am so about it. I hope.
Oh, he's German. He had a German accent.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So maybe.
Abraham Erskine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited, though. I'm excited for Black Widow.
It's going to be good.
And
I think her sister, who actually carries the Black Widow mantle in the comics. Also, she's gonna play a major part. I think
so. She might take over the mantle of Black Widow.
That's why her hair was in Infinity War. Her hair was blonde.
Because
I think she was trying to
separate herself.
Not separate herself, but disguise herself.
Ah, I see. Maybe. Maybe it's kind of a poor disguise, but whatever.
It'd be interesting. I still need to see more from it. I think there was some dope action scenes, like when she's like, you know. In the air falling from, like, the plane or something like
right,
that.
Right,
dive in, and she does that flip onto the
high
rise, whatever she's on. That was
yep. All right, so more trailers. Well, we got hit with, I believe, this weekend. It was Wonder Woman 84.
That was weird, man. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I thought that would, like, pop up during the week.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about the trailer, man? Are you excited?
I am, and I have questions, too. Obviously, I already know old boy who plays Mandalorian, Pascal.
Yeah.
I forgot his first name, but he was in Narcos.
Peter.
Yeah, Peter Pascal. And I know he's going to be the big bad. Kristen Wiig is going to be Cheetah.
Right.
I'm curious as to how she becomes Cheetah. Also, how her boyfriend comes back.
Yeah, Stephen Trevor, I believe.
Yeah, Stephen Trevor.
His name, the character. He's definitely coming back because he's like all over the trailer.
Yeah, and it's like
he's like in all the action and everything.
And it's like he's kind of learning the '80s,
right?
So
maybe he was like out of time or something like that.
I don't know. Like
interesting. I'm intrigued. We'll see.
It should be good, man. And you know, and old girl's coming
back.
It's kind
of like in the vein, like it's kind of like his own story, kind of in the vein of Black Widow, you know, but Wonder Woman style, you know. With
I feel like I got more out of that trailer, though,
mm-hmm.
than I did the Black Widow.
Yeah, definitely. The Black trailer, Black Widow one was kind of vague. Definitely vague on purpose.
She's definitely slanging that whip, though. Like, that rope. She ain't playing.
You know what I didn't like? I didn't like the way I guess that was Taskmaster.
Oh, for Black Widow?
Yeah, and Black Widow.
You didn't like how he looked?
It's kind of weak.
I think because, here's the thing, I think Black Widow is going to be a lot more predictable than Wonder Woman. Like there's questions I have in Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
There's not really too much questions I have in Black Widow Because I kind of feel like I already know the kind of the plot of the story.
Hmm.
You know, it's after Civil War. She's on the run. She goes back to Russia to, like, you know, figure find her family and things like that. Because she hinted at that in the deleted scene for Civil War. And I think they took that out because they're going to visit that in the actual Black Widow movie.
No, quite possibly.
I think Rachel Weisz's character is Taskmaster.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Really? Huh, interesting. Yep. Maybe.
So, but Wonder Woman looks good. I'm hyped for it. Yeah. I mean,
did we get Cheetah in a glimpse at Cheetah in the trailer?
No,
I don't remember.
You just see Kristen Wiig before all that. I'm wondering how she becomes that. That's
interesting.
How they're gonna pay that off?
And then what else did we get? We got Ghostbusters Afterlife.
That was the trailer today, right?
That was today. Wow, man, that's very interesting. I had kind of like a feeling like I've seen this movie before. It's like a somewhere in between Stranger Things, a creepy horror movie, and Bumblebee.
Yeah. It's cool. It's wild how they're integrating the kid aspects to all this stuff.
Right.
I mean, I think they're trying to make a play off of what Stranger Things did and see that success, how that did. Also, it being successful in doing it with kids. Mm. And I think it's gonna pay off. And I like the story. I like that it's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I think the girl she's Egon's granddaughter. They don't say that, but that's kind of the obvious.
She's got the girl or the guy?
The girl.
And then the guy is related to somebody.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Probably the same. Probably his sister or brother or something. I don't know.
But it was really. It looks really good. I'm glad we didn't really, and they didn't really show ghosts or anything like that.
No, it was more of a teaser.
Yeah,
teaser.
It was
teaser.
They executed it really right.
Talk today.
And it doesn't. It looks a lot more it's more of a dramatic comedy.
Yeah,
I feel like there's gonna be more drama in it. I think so.
I think so. I think they're gonna change it up a little bit.
Yeah, they're just discovering.
Yeah, because I was reading. I was watching naturally the episode on how the Ghostbusters got made on Netflix.
I saw that too.
And that gave me some, when I watched this trailer, that gave me some insight because apparently Dan Aykroyd, I think he directed and wrote it. Part wrote it.
Yeah.
It was the other actor who played the guy with the glasses, forget his name.
Egon.
Egon, yeah.
I forgot his name.
He's the other one who co-wrote it, but he passed away. So as far as Dan Aykroyd's part and from the episode on Netflix, which I recommend everybody to go watch the movies that made us on Netflix.
Really dope.
Yeah.
Really dope.
Yeah, it's really dope.
Netflix series.
Ghostbusters. Oh, he said that his family, they did talk a lot about the occult and ghosts
Dan Aykroyd,
and stuff like
that. Weird.
And I was like, his influence. And that's the reason why he wrote Ghostbusters. And then the way the Ghostbusters that we got presented to us was kind of like the other writers that kind of molded it into what Ghostbusters became, the Ghostbusters that we saw. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But his Ghostbusters was kind of like that. Like it was like to be creepy or to be mysterious and stuff like that. You know? So I would say that although this was written by a different person, different screenwriter, I think maybe they're trying to go that Dan Aykroyd route because I guess technically he's the one who says yes or no to anything that happens. And I think they're going a different route than what they did with the female version of the Ghostbusters. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah.
I think I didn't like, I thought the female Ghostbusters movie, I thought it had its pros and cons. Right. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
Yeah. They tried to do Ghostbusters.
They had a really dope cast. I like.
It really looks like this movie is not that movie.
It's definitely
right
not.
Now.
Because I thought the one they tried to do with the all female cast, I thought it was a bit cheesy as far as CGI. Mm-hmm. It was all this unbelievable CGI type stuff, and that really wasn't Ghostbusters. Because even in the original stuff, like, them ghosts look actually like legit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It looked like that was a real thing. You know, like this second, when they retried to redo it a couple years ago, like it just didn't hit. It didn't hit the same. But this one, I think, is going to go back to that element.
Yeah.
Of, like you said, like what Dan Aykroyd was trying to do in the first place. And it's really going to revisit a lot of those things, especially when they did, what was dope in the trailer was when they show on the TV, you know, the teacher, the school and teacher is like kind of, you know, schooling the kids on like, yo, you know, this was a thing, like right. Ghostbusters in New York.
And the show in New York and stuff like
that.
That so you know
dope.
What? I think because in the female movie, wasn't it that they moved into where the old Ghostbusters was?
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, I think it was a.
I think it was a full-on reboot. Was it a full-on reboot, kind of?
Yeah, because...
So you don't think they're going to try and, like, associate them? Like, this...
No.
That, the female thing was what was happening in New York now?
This is something totally different.
Like, something deeper happening?
Because what was supposed to happen was... It was supposed to be everybody coming back to reprise their roles.
Right.
And I want to say, don't quote me on this, I want to say after Harold Ramis died, the guy who plays Egon, I think they kind of, like, scrapped it.
Right.
Because it just didn't make sense to do the movie without him.
Mm.
So they went the all-female route.
Ah, okay.
So that was like the kind of secondary option. And, you know, Dan Aykroyd, you know, co-signed it. He made an appearance. Everybody made an appearance.
Right.
All the original cast made an appearance. So this one is a continuation from 1 and 2. So the original stuff.
Right, yeah, exactly. I'm interested, yeah.
It's going to be dope. I'm really hyped. I've always been, like, low-key a fan of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You know, ever since a kid. I used to watch the cartoons all the time. And man, and let me just say, like going back to the Netflix and how the movies that made us. How crazy was it when that Dan Aykroyd the original cast of Ghostbusters was supposed to be Eddie Murphy and John Belushi,
and everything
just stopped after John Belushi passed away.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. And then they made Slimer. They wanted to make him like a tribute to John Belushi.
Yeah,
kind of.
They tried to like draw it up like as if how John Belushi would do. And they when Slimer's like throwing the goo out of his mouth, like they kind of compared it to when he was in John Belushi was in
Animal House.
Animal House, where he did the zit.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool.
That's funny. Talking about all kinds of great stuff that's been coming out this week. Lastly, what was on TV yesterday is The Crisis is finally here.
I saw
it. Franchise.
Actually, yeah.
And it is calling you. It is beckoning you to join the Arrowverse for this one-time event.
I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty curious about that whole thing. Like, I've been seeing the billboards. Like, it's definitely been calling me.
So my question to you is this. Can I spoil it for you?
Yeah, for sure. Because I'm curious. I'm just scared that, you know, I'm not going to properly, you know, give... A thorough review if I haven't watched.
No, it's fine.
Previous Arrow.
It's okay. It's campy like any of the other episodes and TV shows before it that it's associated with, to a point.
Yeah.
But it's just so many moving parts to it and so many plot points that they're going back and forth between things that are happening with Flash, things that are happening with Arrow, things that are happening with Supergirl. That is, they do it in a way that it. If you haven't caught up in any of the shows, you can get on now and be okay. Just understand that they will mention some things that have happened in their shows that, you know, and every time they do it, they do a lot of exposition and they talk about, you know, because of the exposition, it's easy for you to latch on, and it's really well written those parts when they get into those plot points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things that are maybe a little Flash, something that happened on the Flash show, or something that happened on Supergirl show, something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let me tell you right now is that the Antimatter destroyed the Titans universe. Okay.
That what?
The Titans universe animated the Anti-Monitor destroyed that universe like the first 5 minutes. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So I figured you'd like this.
They went out the gate.
Yeah, I figured you would like this, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
There was a bunch of Earths that he already destroyed like in the first like 2 minutes of the show. They showed an Earth where Michael Keaton's Batman is at. An Earth.
They showed the Earth where Michael Keaton
had the detective. The guy who played the detective.
Get the hell out of here, for real?
He was there. The John Bruckheimer version.
The
Bat Nipples.
Oh, Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah, Jerry Bruckheimer, the gentleman. Oh, the guy who played the reporter.
He was in Tim Burton.
The guy who played the reporter, sorry. Remember the guy who played the reporter?
The,
forget his name now, the actor.
The dude who played in that show, Arliss, years ago?
I remember right now. But you pull it up right now,
know,
watch the first 30 seconds. He's in the first.
The dude with the glasses. The weird, the funny style cat.
And he has the hat. He looks like a detective, kind of.
Yeah.
Old school detective. Yeah.
He's in that?
Yeah, his university has a story like the first 30 seconds.
Get the hell out of here.
Right, the Titan, and the Titan one gets a story like Hawk and Robin, the actors are like looking at like this flash that's coming at them and they're like, what the heck is going on? And then their universe is gone too.
So this is universe is getting blown up.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, anything can happen, be done and redone, right? So we got to see Batman 69, I believe. The gentleman, Burt Reynolds, who played forget his last name. I don't think it's Burt Reynolds. But the gentleman who played Robin in the Adam West show.
Really?
Yeah. We got to see him. He's walking his dog, you know, I guess old and retired. And his universe comes up.
Is he walking a dog as Robin?
Yeah. Wow. He's got the Robin colors on and everything, like a shirt, you know?
That's nice.
It's pretty dope. Little Easter eggs there, and a bunch of little Easter eggs in the beginning. They destroyed the Earth X, which is the Earth that they originally did a crossover on back in the day, and a bunch of stuff. This is a lot. There's a lot of moving parts in that episode. The anti-monitor is on the move, and they use some points from. I guess there's some towers that the monitor built in some Earths to hold back the anti-monitor, whatever. And then the anti-monitor sends monsters to destroy it. And that's what the heroes have to try and stop, you know? But it's pretty vicious, man. It's like they destroyed billions and billions of people. Like right now, this first episode, Arrow already died. And they all destroyed Supergirl's planet. Her Earth, and they only saved like 2 billion people out of like how many billion people live on that Earth.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it's pretty vicious, man. It's interesting. Bunch of DC Universe Easter eggs. Like, so it's a lot of fan service, and just in this one episode, you know?
That's good. I mean, that's
there's
a good
an
way
episode
to get people
where.
To tap into that.
Yeah. And there's an episode where Superman and Lois Lane, the Superman version that's on Supergirl,
yeah.
They think they're going to die. So they put their son. They're raising their son in on a Kandor kind of universe where all the Kryptonians are regular because their power is a red sun where they're at, so that they have normal powers and stuff.
That's cool.
And they think that the antimatter wave is going to kill them, so they put their baby on a rocket. You know, kind of like
how they did with Superman.
Yeah, kind of did with Superman, and also how they kind of did in. The actual Crisis on Infinite Earths comic book, where they kind of put like one of the Luthers kind of like on a rocket like that, you know, the good Luther. It was a little interesting, little subtle Easter eggs for fans, for you know, hardcore DC fans, for not only from all the movies and TV shows, but also little comic book things as well. You know what I mean?
That's fine.
So that was just this one first episode, and we're talking about I think they're doing 5. Total. So
there's a big little saga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I guess because they're doing 5, they're moving really fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How long are these episodes? Like an hour?
Yeah, it was an hour. It was a TV show. Yeah. Network TV show. So Fire. So they got to fit an hour time. But supposedly, not only are they doing that, some of the characters that they wanted to use, the actors who have reprised them before, were not available or couldn't do it or didn't want to do it or they couldn't use some of the characters that they wanted to use. So the writers of the show were like, "Hey, we want to tell a bigger story, but we don't have enough time in these 5 episodes to do it."
Yeah.
So they made a deal with DC Comics, and they're going to release 80-page giants exclusive to Walmart, talking about other stuff in those graphic novels.
Wow!
And those come out December 15th, I believe. First in Walmart, exclusive, and then later on in January, I believe they'll be in your comic shops, yeah, audible. You can get them in the comic book shops.
Wally's World getting the exclusive.
Yeah. Walmart has always had that exclusive for those 80-page giant books.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, they're like $5. You could get them at the little aisles on the front.
Yeah.
They're cool. Like, if you know kids, do you want to get them into reading comic books and stuff like that? That's what I bought for my godson. I bought him some of those, and I gave him those as some gifts just to get him to start reading because he was having problems in school and stuff. There's some Marvel stuff they have in there, too, but what really was a big pull was those 80-page giants because there's a bunch of stories. And they reprint some things that they used before, and there's some new stories in there and stuff like that, but... It worked, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so look forward to that. Get into those, you know?
Yeah, check that out, too.
Yeah.
For sure.
What else is going on? I forget. I feel like I'm forgetting something.
Yeah.
Did we talk about everything today?
It was 007.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot to share that trailer on the page. I need to share that one.
It's the last one.
Did you like it? Tell me about it, because I haven't even seen it.
I honestly wasn't... dissecting the trailer. I mean, it's typical 007 stuff, you know, blowing stuff up, car chases while looking fly, doing smooth.
Doing smooth spy stuff.
Smooth spy stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. That's good for fans of 007, get more of that. But supposedly, I guess in this movie, he's going to pass over the mantle of 007 to another person.
In this movie,
supposedly, I think.
So they're going to keep the continuity.
Yeah, and supposedly it was going to be a female that's going to be taking over the mantle of 007.
That's cool.
So, I don't know if it's a rumor or it's going to pass like that. I don't know. But I think that's it for the show today, man. Because you got to go. You got to be on the air in about 10 minutes. So,
for sure.
Let them know everything you got going on in your world.
Hey, tap in with me. Wild 94.1 every Monday through Friday, 7 to midnight. We actually got a toy drive going down, Orlando's Toy Drive.
Yeah.
You can tune in for that. Also, donations and things like that. We take those at wild941.com. Anything to help the children's home. It's definitely a great cause, man. I've been literally going to that tower every day just kind of like, keep the word going. I mean, and we're getting a really good feedback and really good, some really dope people coming by and just making these kids who are unfortunate enough to have a Christmas like you and I,
right?
You know, have one. So
that's right.
This is really a good thing. Orlando sacrifices himself. Our PD, who does morning shows with the Freak Show every morning, 6 to 10, sacrificing himself, staying up in the tower for. What, 11 days?
Yeah, 11, is it 11 days? 2 weeks?
8 days.
8 days. Eight almost days. 2 weeks.
So,
about a week and a half.
Yeah, it's a really good cause. Gift cards, bikes, all that. Unwrapped toys. So, for sure. But also, at Joey Franchise on Twitter and Instagram. Keep up with me in my DJ life, my radio life, and personal life. So, and we talk about some dope stuff. I put up some dope content from trailers,
man.
And cool memes and things like that.
So, very dope, man. You can follow my Nocturnal Life as a DJ at DJ Speedy JR and all the socials. Of course, check out my comic book that I do with Mr. Albert de Armas. It is called Alienox. I edit it for him. It's his creation. Check it out anywhere where great comic books are sold, or you can buy the digital ones also on Comixology and all that good stuff. Alienox. Check it out. And we will be back next week, hopefully with Tarek. I don't know where he's at, but
he had a day off.
Yeah, he had a day off. We got to take a day off sometimes. Yeah. Oh, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, everyone that is on the Twitch channel, on the live channel. If you're not following Geek Culture Congress, do so right now. Go to the social, go to Facebook, give us a like, give us a review, man. It helps us. Give
better,
us a review.
Man.
Yeah, and go. Like us right now, Geek Culture Congress. That's two words. That's on Facebook and on Instagram. Joey Franchise runs that for us. That's three words altogether. Geek Culture Congress on Instagram. Give us a follow there, and of course, follow the RSS feed, and you'll never miss an episode of Geek Culture Congress where we try and talk about everything that's geeky and nerdy in the world that's going on. And give us a review there on the Apple Podcasts or on the Google and Spotify even. We're on all that stuff. Just search Geek Culture Congress. Till next time, guys. Peace.
Later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.